1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damin between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Jesse's youngest son David went to visit his older brothers who were in the Israelite army. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and, with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword.
So, our main point of this true Bible story this morning is God's chosen king defeats our enemy. And so I'd love it if you could repeat that back to me after 3, 1, 2, 3. God's chosen king defeats our greatest enemy. Now, the passage that we had read out to us earlier comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, where the people of God are facing literally a gigantic problem. In the scene, we have the Philistines on the one part of of the hill, and then we have the other side of the hill, we've got God's people, the Israelites, who are facing them. But why are they facing each other? Well, it's because the Philistines have taken some of the land, which was Israelites' land. And so the Philistines had always been a threatening neighbor. They'd always been one of the great enemies of Israel. Throughout their history, and since they moved into the God's promised land through Joshua, although sort of 10 spies during that time went into that land, they came back to Joshua and saying that the land is full of giants. We shouldn't go there. Instead of listening to those 10 spies, they trusted God and they defeated them. And so they're on the verge now of losing the land that they'd worked so hard to get. They are faced with another giant problem. In fact, a humongous problem. In fact, a Goliath problem. Now, the adults in the room will know who this man is. He is a gigantic man named Jonah Lomu. He was one of the most famous rugby players of all time because he was so strong. In fact, he was so strong, he would just bulldoze over and through people. And it would take half the England rugby team to try and stop him and take him down. Now, kids, there's no reason why I put this photo up other than I'm Welsh and I really like it. Now, Jonah Lomu was 6 foot 4 feet tall. And we learned that Goliath was 9 feet tall. Now, I can't get my head around that sort of size. But I think it's three times the size of me. But I could be wrong. Now, the tallest man in the world was this guy, Robert Waldo from America. He was 8 foot 9 inches. Here's him in the picture. By the age of 8, he was taller than his dad. And then at 9, he was strong enough to carry his dad up and down a full flight of stairs without little effort. And by the time he died, there was no indication that he ever stopped growing. Imagine that. And yet, Goliath was taller than him. He was a man mountain who had come down into the valley in between those sort of warring soldiers doing the standoff and challenges God's people. And he instills fear into God's people. And they're forced to ask the question, where's King Saul? Their tall, man-appointed king, when this is all happening, where is he? Well, in verse 11, it says that King Saul was terrified and all the people with him. And that includes David's big brother, Eliab. Remember him from last week? Sort of that tall Aussie bloke sat over there kissing his biceps. Where's he now? The whole army is terrified on the battlefield. The Philistines were the great enemies of God's people. And Goliath was the biggest enemy. Three times in the story, he threatens God's people and he defiles God's name. Is there anyone who will defend them against the great enemy of God? It's now, right at this moment, that the Lord's anointed king steps onto the scene, confident that God can help his people and defeat their enemies. And during one of Goliath's speeches and challenges, David hears what is said. And he says this in verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done of the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And so what goes on is we've got the cowering Saul, King Saul, in front of David. Picture the scene. Picture this tall, virtually defeated king with this young shepherd boy standing in front of him, and David takes control of the situation, and he says to him, don't lose heart. I will go, and I will fight. Remember last week with Dave, we learned that, unlike us, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but in the heart. And we found that David is a man after God's own heart. And it's here we see exactly that. Saul offers David his armor, but he refuses it, and instead goes to war with the weapons of a shepherd to take the animal Goliath down. In fact, Saul offers the armor to him, but it reveals that he is a king like any other kings in all the other nations. And his problem was that he shared the same perspective as Goliath. He believed power was in armor and in weapons, whereas God's chosen king faces the enemies of God's people without such things and guided and empowered and in confidence the God over all. And I love this scene in the story where David is face to face with Goliath. You can imagine if this was a film, the director's dream. So showing David walking down into the valley to meet this massive monster of a man with only a sling and a few stones. And with the music just getting louder and louder and louder. And then David delivers his speech. Now on Thursday, me and Joss watched the film Gladiator 2. It's not as good as the first one. And one of the reasons is because of that epic speech that some of us have committed to memory. You know, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north. So it's a scene like that. And David looks at Goliath, and the one mocking him, and says, with this unwavering confidence in the living God that makes it so ferocious and fearless, he says this in verse 45, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." I mean, it's epic, isn't it? He's in front of this man mountain, and he has the confidence to say that. And that's exactly what happens. He brings down the giant enemy of God's people. He runs towards the enemy, puts a stone in the sling, and just fires it at Goliath, and he falls face down on the floor. Can you remember what the point of today was? It is, say it with me after three. One, two, three. God's chosen king defeats our greatest enemy. Now, what do we make of this story for ourselves? Where do we fit into this picture? Now, it's tempting to think that we are called to be like David in this story. And this story is an important lesson of faith and courage and power of God to overcome the obstacles we face. And so whatever your Goliath it is, it can be defeated provided you have the five stones that David had in his pouch. Faith, obedience, service to God, prayer, Holy Spirit. Well, if that's the main point of the story and we think we're David, then we're actually in really big trouble. And probably get into trouble with the Goliaths in our lives. Please don't go away thinking that the main point of the story is that. We need to read it in context of the whole book of 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel is about God's anointed king. And so the primary application, the primary point of the high moment of this book of David and Goliath can't be a lesson for me, but it's about God's chosen king. We're not being called to be David, but we're called to remember the good news that we have a David in Jesus Christ. And so actually the answer to the question, who are we in the story? We're probably one of the soldiers in the battlefield, either against God's people or with God's people. And so imagine now, you're one of those soldiers in Israel, and we stand on the hillside and we look down the valley and we see Goliath coming out every morning and every evening taunting us. And you feel powerless to do anything. And then you see David step forward. And you think to yourself, if this is all we've got, then we have nothing. But suddenly in a flash, it's all over and the great enemy is defeated. In the same way, we, as it were, stand on the hillside and look down into the valley and we see Jesus entering the battlefield, armed only with a beam of wood strapped to his shoulders. We see him face to face with the great enemy of sin and death that has been terrorizing our whole lives. And Jesus looks weak to us, small in comparison. But he enters the battle really bravely and entrusts himself to God. And he says to sin and death, "You come against me with lies and threats and accusations, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And today you may strike my heel, but I will crush your head." And in a victorious moment, we see defeat turn into victory as Jesus dies on the cross and he bursts out alive of the tomb. Why did this happen? Say with me, God's chosen king defeats our greatest enemy. Like David, Jesus was God's chosen king, the man who stood in between us and our enemy to defeat sin and death, to destroy it and give us victory. Now, David and Goliath was always a great true story. But when we involve ourselves into the biggest story with Jesus, then it becomes the greatest story ever to be true and it becomes our story. Jesus is God's chosen king, and he defeats our greatest enemy, sin and death. And in this story, there is a call to action, but it isn't one to take on our giants. But it's a call for us now, if we believe in Jesus' death and resurrection, to surge forward and with a shout, plunder the camp of the evil one, to proclaim victory and to call all those on the other side to freedom in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about the great enemy in our lives of sin and death, we thank you for the victory we have over them through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have conquered over them and our enemy is defeated. So we can act with confidence in our calling to surge forward to proclaim this victory to those around us and on the other side to a glorious and everlasting freedom in Christ. Amen.